بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Okay, so in the previous lesson, we finished our discussion of the statement of Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ قَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّافًا، that we do not believe the kahin nor the arraf. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue with the second half of that sentence. وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِي شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُنَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعَ الْأُمَّةِ. And so this means, this translates, and nor anyone who claims anything which opposes the book, the sunnah, and the consensus of the ummah. Because there's a connection between these two parts of the sentence. There's a connection. So, regarding this, this statement that we're discussing today, there are a number of issues to look at. And I mean here the statement, وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِي شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعَ الْأُمَّةِ. So, the first issue then, here, is that opposing the book and the sunnah and the consensus and the ijma' is blameworthy in the religion, and it is also misguidance. It is madhmum and it is dalal. It is blameworthy and it is misguidance. And it can make a person reach the level of disbelief, of kufr, in the affair of creed, and likewise in the practical matters relating to action, or in the affairs of suluk, meaning again behavior and conduct. Now the reason why Imam al-Tahawi has mentioned this sentence in connection to what he discussed before of kihana and irafa, meaning that which the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and the diviners and people of that nature, what they claim to have, is because there was a group of people who claimed righteousness and piety and abstention from the world and plentiful worship. They basically claimed certain things that they claimed happened. So they might claim, for example, that they became aware of the unseen. Or they might claim, for example, that they were inspired with something. That they were inspired. Or that they might claim to, you know, have a certain conduct or a behavior which actually opposes the kitab and the sunnah. And, you know, which it is known the ummah has united upon this issue, that this is in opposition to the kitab and the sunnah. And so this you find amongst many of the people of tasawwuf, commonly amongst the people of tasawwuf, the Sufis. And this is something that was found in the time of al-Tahawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. So as you can see clearly, that al-Tahawi, he has made a connection between believing in a kahin or a kahan and the arraf, believing in him, as you recall in the previous lesson, we mentioned the ahadith, the texts that speak of the one who goes to a fortune teller, asks him, and who believes in what he said. We discussed the issues, the masail relating to that. So he has made a connection here between believing in those types of people and making the claim about something which opposes the kitab and the sunnah and ijma'. And this is because, as we said, that the people might believe in the fortune tellers, they might believe in these types of people, but, and obviously in general, people will have caution against the likes of these people. But when it comes to these people that we are speaking of now, the people who claim sunnah, who claim zuhud, who claim abstention, who claim piety, who claim ibadah, and they might claim certain things which are in opposition to the sunnah. And it may not be possible for the people to recognize this, because we differentiate between times in which the sunnah is known, it is widespread, its banner is raised high, it's common knowledge, like times in the past. In those kind of times, it's known that something opposes the kitab and the sunnah and ijma'. It is known. But there are other times and situations in which it is not like that. It is unclear, it is ambiguous. It is not known to the people that such and such claim, that such people who claim piety and righteousness and abstention from the world and worship, where everything that we see apparently from them, from the actions, appears to be righteousness and piety. But then they, alongside that, they make claims to certain things which are similar to the claims of the magicians and the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and people like them, where they claim certain things. So for that reason, Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah has made a connection between these two, to basically bring to our attention and to make us aware of the danger in this particular issue. That even though the kahin and the arraf is a matter that we would be familiar with, that a person should not be deceived by that which is found, especially amongst the Sufis, of things which are claimed under the cloak or the gown of righteousness and piety and zuhud, abstention, and so on and so forth. So that's the first issue. The second mas'ala is that those people who make a claim to al-walaya with a fatha, this refers to allegiance to Allah, friendship with Allah, and you know, these people are claimed to be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, then we see that there are various types of groups amongst them. There are various types of groups amongst them. So from them, for example, are the ghulat, the extremists, those who claim that revelation is sent down to them. Revelation is sent down to them. This is the first group. And just before we move on to the second and third groups that the Shaykh mentions, this group, those who claim that revelation is given to them, we see that this idea or this notion, when we look at the Yahud, for example, and we look at the Rafida, for example, whose ideas are largely taken from the Yahud, we see that the Yahud, their religion, the religion which is known as Yahudiyya, this is not the deen that Musa alayhi salam, which he came with. Musa alayhi salam, he came with Islam, with Tawheed, and obedience to the Shara', the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Bani Israel, and amongst them are the Yahud, they made tabdeel of this religion. And around the time of Isa alayhi salam, they basically claimed to have another revelation, a secondary revelation, that was sent down secretly through the ages, and it was an oral revelation, it wasn't written down. And around the time of Isa, after the time of Isa alayhi salam, they changed this religion and made it into something in which they claimed that their scholars continue to receive revelation. Their scholars continue to receive revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that their scholars, that the rabbis, that they have a divine authority. And whatever they say, it's as good as it coming directly from Allah Azza wa Jal. And on that basis, they demand obedience, absolute, unrestricted obedience from the common Yahudi, from the common Yahud. So this notion, this idea, you see likewise in amongst the Rafida, the Shia, the Rafida, we see that they claim that the revelation There was also additional revelation that we do not have in the Quran. It was sent via Ali radiallahu anhu through the offspring, through the genealogy of Fatima radiallahu anha, and through the offspring of Ali. And they claim that they have the interpretation of the Quran, and that through this lineage there are those, the imams, who are divinely guided, and they continue to receive revelation. And we see that likewise they have a doctrine that Al-Khomeini brought out for them, Wilayat Al-Faqih, they call it. They call it the authority of the jurist. But what they mean by this is that there is an imam or a leader who has absolute authority up until the imam, the hidden imam, will come. And this faqih, this jurist, is to be given absolute unconditional obedience. And so you see the ideas are very, very similar amongst these people. Likewise, amongst the Sufis, you find there are those who claim that they receive divine revelation, and they divide the revelation into two: that which is zahir, that which is outward and apparent and relates to the rulings, which is for the common people, and that which is batin, which is a hidden, secret type of meaning. And that hidden, secret type of meaning is that which they claim to have knowledge of. And this is only passed through by secrecy and initiation, and through chains, through tariqas, and so on and so forth. And they claim that they have a direct link with Allah Azawajal, who inspires them with meanings, with laws, with revelation. And this is a continual process. And the only way they can link with Allah Azawajal is by way of these, the Sufi sheikhs, the awliyas. And so therefore what they do is that they belittle the actual sharia of Allah Azawajal, and they claim some other revelation that they claim is inspired to them. So you see that all these groups that we're talking about, the Yahud, the Rafida, the Sufiya, is a similar concept amongst them all. So anyway, the Shaykh mentioned the first, the Ghullat, those who claim that they receive revelation. The second thing that he mentions here is those who are less than them, and they simply claim that they are inspired and informed about the unseen. Because you can have, you know, we have wahi from Allah Azawajal, where he conveys his actual speech to the prophets and messengers. This is wahi. But then there's a level which is below that, which is simply ilham, with a ha, ilham. And this is just simply when Allah inspires someone. Not in the sense of receiving revelation through an angel, but simply inspires someone. You know, he inspires him to his right guidance, he inspires him to do good deeds, he inspires him, you know, to such and such realization. So this is ilham. So this is not as serious as the first one, but there are people like that who claim to have ilham and who claim to be informed about the unseen, right, by the angels or by whoever. And the third group are those who are less than them, less than the previous two, and these groups claim that they somehow have the ability to change things, and they have knowledge that allows them to figure out what people are concealing inside their hearts, and you know, this type of ilm, it's a type of knowledge of the unseen, and that they are informed about what will happen after them, and you know, things that happen before them, things of that nature. So all of these people, you see that these three groups of people are from amongst those who claim ibadah, who claim zuhud, you know, worship, righteousness, who claim piety, who claim a walaya, allegiance to Allah. These kind of things emanate from these groups of people. And we know that this opposes the way of the Salaf, because the Salaf, we know that the way of the Salaf was a certain path. Like, they took a certain path. They were upon zuhud, yes. They were upon ibadah, they were upon righteousness. They had walaya to Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to worship Allah, they used to abstain from the world, abstain from things that would not aid them. And they would also hope in Allah, hope in His mercy. But alongside that, they would never make any of these additional claims. This is not the way of the Salaf, to make these types of claims. Yes, they would have all these affairs, but they would not then add to this the claim of, for example, receiving revelation, which is the most serious thing from the three that we mentioned, nor that they are, you know, inspired and are informed, nor that they have some special, you know, abilities and qualities. They would never make the likes of these claims. Rather, these are shaitanic states and conditions, which some of them, as we saw previously, sometimes they claim they are karamat of the awliya. Karamat of the awliya. We also discussed this previously, and we talked about the issue of miracles and the karamat of the awliya, and what is a genuine karama and what is not a genuine karama. We looked at those issues previously. So that then is the second issue. Those people who make a claim to the likes of these things, to these states and conditions, and that this is not from the way of the Salaf. The third point is that it is wajib upon every single Muslim to believe that knowledge of the unseen is specific and unique to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that He gives this knowledge of the unseen sometimes. Some of this knowledge of the unseen to some people. That He may give something from the knowledge of the unseen to someone from amongst His creation. And we see in the ayah, in Surah Al-Jinn, towards the end of the surah, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَى مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا لِيَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. Knower of the unseen, he does not manifest his unseen to anyone except the one whom he is pleased with of a messenger, and he puts in front of him and behind him a protection, to the end of the passage. So we see here then, therefore, there is a negation and then an exception. There is a negation and then an exception. And in this exception, the one who has been given an exception is a messenger, a rasul. And the rasul is of two types. A rasul that is an angel which is malaki. And a rasul which is bashari. A rasul which is bashari. So messengers of two types. A rasul which is malaki and a rasul which is bashari. So these two, we know that these two have been given an exception. And Allah Azza wa Jal will give them whatever He desires in accordance with His wisdom that He sees, something from the affairs of the unseen. Now, apart from these two groups, an angel and a messenger, then no one besides them is given knowledge of the unseen. No one is given knowledge of the unseen. However, and it's important to understand the detail in this. However, some of them might receive a karama, like a miracle. However, in this miracle, it is not that something of the knowledge of the future is being revealed to them. It is not that they are being given some knowledge of the future, but rather it is that something is being revealed to them about the state of affairs as they currently are. Right? So to help to understand this, we'll come back to the example that was given in a previous lesson in relation to a karama that was given to a companion, to two companions, Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and another companion called Sariya. And Sariya was in Iraq, and Umar bin al-Khattab was giving a khutbah. And in his khutbah, he began to say, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal, Ya Sariya. And so what happened is that Umar bin al-Khattab was given Al-Kashf Al-Ilmi, which is that he was made aware of something that is taking place now. He could see Sariya and where he was, because there was a battle taking place, and he told it, and so he shouted out, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal, meaning stick, stick by the mountain, stick by the mountain. And As-Sariya, he was given Al-Kashf As-Sam'i, which is, it was revealed, something that was heard was, you know, unveiled to him. Right? But this is something that's taking place at that moment in time. And this is basically a karama. There is nothing here in which someone has had revealed to him knowledge of the future, knowledge of the unseen, which is knowledge from the future. Right? This is not, as we said, this is negated except from a messenger and an angel to which Allah Azza wa Jal will give something for a wisdom that he knows and that he sees. But as for everyone else, then no, unless it is a karama, and that karama takes on the form in the example that we have just given. So it is unveiling some knowledge or seeing something, as we saw in this particular example. So again, but this issue now goes into the issue of the karama that we discussed previously. That's a different topic. So that is point number three. Only Allah Azza wa Jal, He knows the knowledge of the unseen. He reveals it only to a messenger from the angels or the prophets. And as for those besides them, then no one at all is given that ilm. Point number four is that when we go to the explanation of Ibn Abil Izz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the explainer of At-Tahawiyah, we find that he gives examples of groups of people who were upon something that the Salaf weren't upon. Right? And remember, we are talking about, like when we speak about what the Salaf were upon, we are speaking about i'tiqadat, beliefs that the Salaf had, statements that they would make, a'mal, actions that they would practice, and likewise, ahwal. Ahwal are basically like states of being. You know, states of being, the condition that they were in. And so sometimes you find that some people, they put themselves in a certain hal, in a certain state of being, which is not what the Salaf were upon. And Ibn Abi al-Izz, he gives an example to illustrate the concept to you. And there was, in the 8th century, around the time of Ibn Abi al-Izz, and around the time of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, a group of people who called themselves Al-Malamikiyya, or Al-Malamiyya. And this was a group of Sufis. And they were into purifying the soul, you know, trying to have the utmost of sincerity, and striving in this regard. And what they began to do was they began to displaying outwardly actions that they didn't really agree or were upon inwardly. So they began to display acts of disobedience in public to people. And they would show something that would be other than obedience to Allah. And what they were trying to do by this is they were trying to draw out people's criticism upon them, so that people would criticize them. And so when the people would criticize them, they believed that this would push them further into achieving ikhlas. Right? So you see that this is like a way of being and a behavior that they adopted as a means of trying to achieve the pinnacle of ikhlas, or the utmost sincerity. But the question is this what the Salaf used to do? Was this the hal of the Salaf? Was this a behavior? Was this the suluk? Was this the way? And was it the way of the Salaf? No. This was not what the Salaf were upon. So we know that this approach and this behavior is batil. It opposes the way of the Salaf. And we do not believe what these people... We do not believe in what these people are doing. Just like we do not believe the kahin and the arraf, and you know that type of thing that has already proceeded, even though they are people of ibadah, people of zuhud, this is not the way of the salaf. This is not what the book and the sunnah and the ijma' came with. So, so therefore, this concludes our discussion of this jumla. وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِي شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعَ الْأُمَّةِ. And it indicates that we do not believe, we are not deceived by anyone who claims walaya, you know, piety, zuhud, ibadah, and so on and so forth. And then he starts making the likes of these claims. And he, you know, he makes claim of knowledge of the unseen, or that he's inspired, or that he, you know, knows certain things, or that, you know, he manifests a hal, a condition, a state of being that is not known from the Salaf. We do not believe the likes of these people at all. So this concludes our discussion then of that sentence. And now we move to the next statement. And this is the statement of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. وَنَرَى الْجَمَاعَةَ حَقًّا وَصَوَابًا وَنَرَى الْجَمَاعَةَ حَقًّا وَصَوَابًا وَالْفُرْقَةَ زَيْغًا وَعَذَابًا. We believe that the jama'ah is truth. We believe that the jama'ah is truth and correctness. Al-haq wa-sawab. Wal-furqata zayghan wa-adhaban. And we believe furqa, which means separation. Separation, disunity, splitting. To be deviation, zayghan wa-adhaban. And punishment. And punishment. And then he continues, وَدِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَدِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَاحِدٌ وَهُوَ دِينُ الْإِسْلَامِ. The deen of Allah upon the earth is only one. Upon the earth and the heaven is only one. It is the deen of Islam. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Indeed, the deen with Allah is Islam. And he said, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And he's pleased with you, he's pleased for you, Islam as your religion. So, we'll start with the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, regarding the issue of the jama'ah. So we, as people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah, we hold, we believe that unity is the truth, and in punishment there is afwan. In unity there is truth, and in disunity, in splitting, there is punishment. And for the Ummah to be united upon the truth, this is a mercy. It is rahmah. It is rahmah. And splitting between them is punishment. And this is from the essence of the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Meaning this issue of unity and splitting along the lines of what we just mentioned, it is from the essence of the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. This is why you find, the Sheikh, this is from my speech, just to elaborate on what the Sheikh said, that when you look in the books of creed, you will find that they all mention those issues that pertain to unity. Either it is unity in affairs of aqidah, or it is unity behind the ruler. Unity behind tawheed in matters of belief, or unity behind the ruler in the matters that concern the servant and, you know, the servants and the land and the state and so on and so forth. This is from the most mighty principles of the religion. The Shaykh then mentions, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold all of you to the rope of Allah and be not divided. And here, حَبْلُ اللَّهِ is the Qur'an and it is Islam. And likewise, when he said جَمِيعًا, meaning all of you hold to the Qur'an and to the Sunnah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, do not be divided. This means do not be divided. He ordered to be united upon the habl of Allah, which is the rope, which is Islam, which is the Quran. And it is not, when he says wala tafarraqu, it means that do not unite on the basis of the madhahib and hizbiyat, on the basis of schools of doctrine and upon partisanship. The asal, the foundation of coming together is the Quran and the Sunnah, which is the habl of Allah. This is what it means to be united. And wala tafarraqu, meaning that do not make the hizbiyat and the madhahib and the aqaid, which oppose the book and the Sunnah, to make your coming together on the basis of those types of issues. So therefore, unity is not attained except upon the book of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal, the Shaykh says, has commanded with unity and shunning splitting in the form of opinions and in the form of that which is in the heart, because the Muslims, however much they split and differ, the Muslims, however much they are separate in terms of where they live, then they are nevertheless still united upon the truth. Right? So in other words, if the Muslims are split in different lands, one is living in the east, one is living in the west, one is living in the north, the south, but as long as their hearts are upon one and the same thing, then their hearts are still united. And they love each other. But as for the people of falsehood, they might be in one and the same place, sitting together in the same place, in the same location, but it is only their bodies which are united. Only the bodies united. But their hearts, you see that they are in opposition. And that's why we see in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions about them, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You think them to be together. You think them to be one, to be united. But their hearts are diverse. And likewise, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Do not be like those who split and divided, who split and differed after there came to them the bayyinat. They are the ones for whom is a mighty punishment. And also the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ من الذين فرقوا دينهم من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. Do not be from the mushrikun, those who split their religion and became into parties, every party rejoicing with that which it has with itself. And so Sheikh mentioned numerous ayat in this regard which establish this principle, upon which this principle is based of unity and not splitting. Then the Sheikh says it is wajib upon the Muslimin that they be a single nation in their belief, in their worship, in their jama'ah, in their obedience to the ruler, so that they are a single hand, a single body, a single building. Because this is how the Messenger of Allah, he gave them the example, the resemblance, that he gave them the example of being as if a single building. And all of this, in all of this, is a mercy for the Muslims. Their blood is protected by way of this, their hearts come together by way of this, their society becomes secure and stable, their acquisition of rizq, meaning their ability to acquire rizq, is facilitated in the likes of this type of situation. But when they cut off and they hate each other and they split and so on and so forth, this is when the enemies, they then take advantage of them, and then they begin to split or they begin to spill each other's blood. So this is then the importance of this principle. And then the Shaykh goes on to mention that there are two types of differing. The first type of differing is that which is in aqidah, which is impermissible, it is not permissible at all, because it brings about hatred, separation, disunity, it separates the word. So the Muslims in this respect have to be upon a single aqidah. It is the aqidah of La ilaha illallah, of Tawheed, and to believe in that, qawlan wa amalan wa i'tiqadan, in belief, speech, and deed. And this is an issue which is not down to people's opinions. It is based upon revelation. So it cannot be the basis for any kind of tafarruq, for any kind of separation and splitting. Because the aqidah is taken from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. It's not taken from ara and ijtihadat, from people's opinions, from people's juristic opinions. So separating in aqeedah, it leads to cutting off and hatred and so on and so forth. Like what we find with the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila and the Asha'ira and the various astray sects which the Messenger of Allah, he informed us about them, mentioning the hadith of spitting, that this nation will split into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except for one. And when they said, "Who is that, O Messenger of Allah?" he said, "Man kana ala mithli ma ana ali wa ashabi." Those were upon that which the likes of which I and my companions are upon. So this is the first type of differing. It is unlawful. It is impermissible. The second type of differing is the ikhtilaf in al-ijtihad al-fiqhi, which is the differing that relates to matters of jurisprudence, matters of the rulings that relate, for example, to purification, to prayer, to fasting, to hajj, to fasting, to charity, to marriage, divorce, inheritance, transactions, all those kind of things that relate to the ahkam, to the rulings. And this is because that there is a certain amount of investigation and people's perception involved when it comes to finding the rulings for these things. And naturally, people differ in these types of affairs. And so naturally, when they derive their rulings, then in a certain number of things, they might differ with each other. So this type of differing, so long as there isn't any fanaticism, there isn't any ta'assub, any partisanship, there isn't anything like that which will lead to enmity, then there is, you know, there's la ba's with this, as long as there is no clear opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah. Because the Salaf the Imams, the four Imams, they used to differ with each other on certain issues, but they never had enmity amongst each other. They remained brothers. So this is how it is. As for when there is ta'assub, as for when there is partisanship, then this is something that will lead to enmity and hatred. And so a Muslim should be cautious and be aware of this. He basically takes from their sayings that agree with the Kitab and the Sunnah, as the Messenger of Allah, as we see in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal saying, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you differ in anything, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger if you truly believe in Allah and the Last Day. And وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Anything that you differ in, then its ruling returns back to Allah. So all differing, it returns back to the Kitab and the Sunnah. And whatever is the strongest evidence is basically taken. So with that, we'll conclude our lesson there for today, inshallah ta'ala. We'll take up this discussion, inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson. We'll conclude here for now. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.